This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you about how you started your business and even while you were in a corporate job. But before we dive into all the nitty-gritty details that everyone's so excited about, can you tell us a little bit about what your business looks like today and how you serve your clients?
Yeah, so my name is Holly Haynes. I am in Columbus, Ohio. I like to say that I'm a business strategist, not a coach. And my whole mission is to help you build a very full-time business on a part-time schedule. So most of my clients come from a corporate background similar to what I did. I had 22 years working for Fortune 500 companies and are looking to transition into something different, right? Whether it's full-time or part-time. Or I serve local businesses or female entrepreneurs that are just looking to have a little bit more freedom in their life, right? Because I feel like we get all excited to start a business and then we're like, oh my gosh, this is actually a decent amount of work. And then we end up working way more than we anticipate. And most of us burned out. And then we're like, oh, I didn't do it, or it didn't turn out the way I want it to. And so my whole goal is to help keep you going. The way that I do that and what I teach is very much strategic, right? So we talk about how to build a business without being reliant on social media. I have this process called income stacking, which is where you really create multiple products and offers based on things that you currently have or already know. And then I'm really into working smarter, not harder. So how can you outsource? How can you repurpose? And so that's really what I get into and really help you map out the like tangible plan of what does my day look like? What does my week look like? What does my quarter look like? And how do I actually see results?
I love all of it so much. When you and I connected earlier this year, I was like, oh my gosh, I adore this woman. I think what you've done is amazing. As soon as I connected with you, I think I told like three or four people in the same day, like, you are not going to believe who I just met and what she did. Like, I told the story to everyone. So I think it's so inspiring. And what you've been able to build is just so needed for all of us, you know? And, you know, I feel like I've done an okay job of managing my calendar, and I'm really systems and process oriented, but it's amazing. It doesn't matter how good or how not great we are in those areas. Having an outside perspective is always super helpful. So I love what you do. I love what you specialize in. And I'm really excited to dig into very specifically how you went from your corporate job to running this business full time. And you say this every time in your story, is between 8 to 10 hours a week, which is remarkable to me. So I would love to rewind the tapes a little bit and take me back to the place when you made the decision of like, I think I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah. So the story I like to tell is actually before I even thought that I would have a business, I was actually getting my master's degree. I went to Ohio State. If you're from Columbus, there's this ice cream store called Jenny's Ice Cream. She's pretty big nationwide now. At the time, this was like 12 years ago, she was just getting started and she had come to speak to our class about, I think it was a finance class or something. I don't know. I was just like, what are we going to learn from this, right? And her whole story was not about ice cream. She does make amazing ice cream, but it was about how she wanted her business to be this like impactful piece of the community. And if you look at what she does now, most of what she shares has nothing to do with ice cream. Like, she's very big in the community and is an advocate for a lot of local groups. And I just remember sitting there like, I don't know if what I'm doing right now is what I really should be doing, because I'm not doing anything like this. And like, if I'm showing up to a job, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week, like what impact am I actually making? And do people even care that I'm doing this? I just remember it had this like huge, like, oh, I need to figure out a different path. At the time, I didn't know what it was. I then ended up having twins. And so that sort of like took, you know, priority for a while. And
absolutely.
Sort of along the way, I would try to dabble in things that were a little bit more meaningful in my career. So I was like, okay, well, I'll start a women's networking group for the consulting firm that I work with. Or at the time, Lean In had just come out with Sheryl Sandberg. And so I'm like, let's do a book club. And so I had started mentoring and really working with other women at like a really, really micro level. And I really liked it. And so in January of 2020, and I share this a lot, I say, you know, I was driving on the way to work and I was like, I don't think I can do this for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. So my first question of the story is, if you look at what you're doing, can you do it for the next 10 years? My question, like, I didn't even have to think about it. Like, I should have just turned the car around and like gone home, but you know, you can't do that. So I was like, I got to do something different. And Instagram at the time had like just come out and was becoming more popular. And I was starting to see some things. And I was like, I think I'm going to hire a coach and I'm going to tell her that I want to do something mentoring female business owners. And then we'll just figure it out, which is really not a plan, but that's what I did. So I hired a coach before I had a business.
Right? I think it's a leap of faith and a plan. Like sometimes the plan is like one step, you know?
Yeah, it was one step for sure. I mean, it was leading up to that. So in January of 2020, I hired a coach and I said, I'm going to give myself 1 year. I'm very like type A goal setting, like list checking. I'm going to do everything you tell me. Just show me the path. And I just like put all my trust into let's just follow the path. So we decided that we were going to come out with a podcast because I didn't really know what I wanted to offer yet. It was a great way to build a community, which is the thing that I liked, and figure out what to do next. So we came out with a podcast in March. So we're 3 months in, still like, I don't know, negative five figures in this business.
Right.
And the day the podcast came out, it's called Crush the Rush, it was the day the first case of COVID hit the United States. And I remember sitting there like, you know, you pour all of your time into this idea and you think like, this is it. This is going to be the thing. Like, this is going to be amazing. And I was like, oh man, that was not what I said. Like the whole world is literally shutting down. My girls are in kindergarten. Now they're coming home. I'm now working from home. Like it sort of just like blew up. And so I'm sharing that because it didn't go the way that I thought. And then I was like, well, I can either quit, but I'm only 3 months into my 1 year plan, or I'm just going to really organically share what I'm doing. And so that's what I ended up doing. I started putting together a schedule of like when I was working on my business, when I wasn't, how we were sort of navigating working full time and teaching kindergarten on Zoom and all the things. And it sort of led to where we are now. But I share that because it wasn't this like straight path. And I feel like sharing behind the scenes and what we were doing and how we were doing it and getting to know my community that was listening to the podcast really led to the product suite that we have now.
I love that you shared all of that, the behind the scenes, because I think what I really want to pull out, which you've already said, but I just want to reiterate, is that the plan didn't feel like this full plan, like from A to B. You just had one step at a time. And hiring a coach is really like a bold move when you don't know what you want. And like, I think I know who you worked with, and because you've mentioned her several times. So I'm assuming that's the first coach you worked with. And I'm curious how you decided on the specific coach you ended up working with.
Yeah, I had seen her and gotten to know her. I had dabbled in network marketing before, and long story short, it just wasn't my thing, but had, you know, met some people that I had looked up to along the way, and I had sort of seen how she had pivoted her business. And so my advice is find a person where their lifestyle and their business model is what you're working towards. So every single person that I have hired since, I look at their business model and I'm like, how are they attracting clients? What are they doing? What does their life look like? Are they working, you know, 50 hours a week, or are they, you know, taking vacations with their kids and going to yoga class? Like, I really look at how can I mirror, like, they've already gone through it and I want to go the path that they're going. For me, it's less about the 17 things you get when you sign up, but like, what is their right. lifestyle and how did they get there? Like, is that something that I would like to do?
That's a great frame. I really appreciate you bringing that out, because a lot of people, myself included, we can all get sucked into what are the 17 things, right? It's a mm-hmm. list on a website and there's all these things. But I love how you frame that of, is this person that is going to be intimately involved mm-hmm. in my business? Because when you hire a coach at that level, it's they're involved. And hopefully you're listening to just one at a time. Mm-hmm. We need multiple coaches yeah. over the course of our business, but we need one at a time, because otherwise it's just not a good situation. And so when yeah. you're listening to them, they're going to give you the advice that worked for them and for other people. But if you don't like their lifestyle or their business model, gosh, it could go off the rails pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the other thing is it's a partnership. So I knew, like, regardless of who the coach was or what the program was, I was like 110% in. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that I had 1 year to say, I'm going to try everything physically and mentally possible, regardless of what's happening in the world. And we're going to see what happens. So it's got to be this like all in sort of mentality. But I think the other thing that happened along the way is, and I always share, like, you know, I have financial goals that I write down, but they don't motivate me at all. Like, I'll look at the number and I'll be like, oh, that sounds great. Like, what does that even mean? But as I started to be at home more and really think about, like, oh, maybe this has some legs, our family came up with what we called the bus stop dream. And that was, how can I figure out how I can put my kids on the bus and get them off the bus in the same day? Because in the corporate world, that was impossible, mm-hmm. like not possible. Or you had to like literally move mountains for that to happen. And so when you think about like, okay, well, how do I want to structure my week? What does this really look like? It's like, okay, well, for me, 8 to 10 hours was a non-negotiable. And I was working towards, how do I have the schedule where I can put my kids on the bus and get them off? I didn't know what that looked like. It might have been getting a different job. It might have been like working part-time. I didn't know, but that was the goal. And that's really what helped sort of keep the momentum.
That's so good. I really appreciate that you said two things in that, one of which you were all in. And as someone who works alongside other entrepreneurs, it is, and so do you, right? If both of us could talk about this, when someone is not all in, it's a really difficult situation mm-hmm. to work with, because it's, I say something that sounds so harsh every time I say it, but I don't know how else to say it in a kind way. Like, I mean it with all the compassion and love in my heart, but we can either make progress or we can make excuses. And I'm not trying to make light of everyone's life circumstance. I know that we hit weird things in our life, circumstances, whether it's with ourselves or family members, whatever. I'm not trying to make light of that. Sometimes we have to put things on pause or hold or whatever. But there's other times, like COVID hit and you kept going. You did not make an excuse at all. You made progress, which is huge. And it's because you were committed. And I also loved that you knew not just the number, which is important to know. I'm sure we're going to get into that of how you transitioned. Yeah. It's important to know the finances, but you knew the why, like the bus stop dream. That's so cool that you're like, that's the thing. I don't know how I'm going to get to that thing yet, but if you know the why, you'll figure out the how. And that's exactly what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, though, once you hit the dream, then it's like, oh, what's the next thing? That was like that should be a whole nother episode. But you've got to figure out, like, what's the thing that's going to get you up at, you know, 6 a.m, because that's the only time that you have to work on your business.
Right. Hey there. Are you looking to be more profitable and productive in your business? And let's face it, actually follow through with the plans you set. See, we all fall into those times when we have the best intentions when we're planning, but life throws us a curveball and one missed task can throw us off completely. My friend, you are not alone, and you certainly don't have to go at this alone either. If you're looking for support to get back on track and make this year the year that you actually follow through and achieve your goals, I'd love to support you. I've got a few ways we can work together, and you can find it all on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me, or you can DM me the word support on Instagram and I'll send you all the details. I can't wait to hear from you, but for now, let's get back to the episode. Okay, so you have this moment that kind of took a little bit of time. It was during your master's program, and then you were realizing driving, okay, I need to do something different. You hired the coach, you started the podcast. At what point did you, and maybe this is not the next step that you want to share, but at what point did you sit down and figure out, okay, how am I going to do this financially, or what does that look like? Or because that seems like the next logical thing for me, but maybe it wasn't.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that if you are a coach or some sort of service provider, the easiest way at the beginning to make money is to just do some sort of like one-on-one, or let's just get one client, right? Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, I had like two or three clients, which ironically have now been all through my bigger programs. Like they stuck with me. So I feel good about that. But we would meet at like 7:30 in the morning for 1 hour a week, and I would help them like map out their strategy for their business. And so it started like really, really small. I mean, I was bringing in like, I don't know, $500 a month. And that was enough to be like, okay, I'm going to reinvest that and I'm going to hire an assistant. So I hired an assistant pretty early on before I even had really any products, because my whole goal was I needed to build an audience. And, you know, I always say it's not your launch, it's your audience. If you try to sell a course for $97 to five people, like, is $500 going to make a difference? It will in the short term, but like long term, I wasn't going to retire off of it. So that's kind of where I started. I then was like, oh, I should do a course. Like, let's do like a one to many model, which everyone I think thinks about. The course was it wasn't bad. I mean, it still sits on our back end, but it wasn't like, it wasn't the thing. And I think that's because I enjoy talking to people. I want to be more hands-on. It did okay. I think we had four people maybe. I mean, it was a good test. And then I was like, okay, Holly, like you've got these one-on-one clients. The course is not the thing. Like, what is the thing? And so we flipped the whole model at this point. And this is like what I love to teach. And it's sort of where I had this moment of like, well, what do you teach your corporate clients? Like, what are they good at? Like, go, you know, really getting into strategy. Like, what's the 80-20 rule? Like, 80% of your income comes from 20% of what your clients want. And I was like, okay, what is that? And so I actually created our mastermind next. And that was more of a high ticket program. And I was really gearing it towards women who were working full time, going through the same thing that I was, and teaching them what I had done so far. And that's when everything really shifted. And that was in November of our first year. So, I mean, it took a minute, 9 months, to sort of get things rolling a bit. And then we sort of worked backwards after that and said, okay, now we have the mastermind. If you don't want to do that, what else can you do? And we launched our membership and then have sort of gone from there. But I think really you have to think about like, what does your audience want? And I always say like, you typically are your best client, like two or three phases before where you are. And so I was like, well, if I thought about what I needed somebody to just tell me what to do. I wanted to do it fast. I wanted to like just be all in. So how could I create something like that?
Mm-hmm. So you really, what it sounds like is you, when you were thinking, okay, I know I want to transition out of this corporate job, you went to thinking about offerings pretty quickly, testing different offerings, which I think is great, instead of just sitting and analysis paralysis gets the best of you, you know? And just testing things out. And then I want to come back to that financial piece of like how you figured out when you could transition and do that.
Yeah.
But really, how, whenever you were thinking about what to toss out there, you know, like throwing spaghetti at the wall, I'm assuming the coach was really helpful, but you also were just seeing what was available, I guess, and what the options were. I really like that you talked about how you tested different ideas to see what worked for you and didn't feel married to them. Like you didn't feel like I have to launch this course over and over and over again because it didn't work the first time, which is a great method if you know the course is what you want to do.
Yeah.
But if you knew it wasn't for you, you just moved on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work to put together a course. Like, that's probably a whole episode in itself of how to do it differently. But I think for me, I was able to leverage our podcast. And if you don't have a podcast, you can look at your content and see what's the most popular content. What do people want to know? What are my clients asking me? Now, at the time, I only had like two or three clients, but they were all asking me the same things. Like, what do I do to get started? How do I create more content? When do I make my first hire? How do I create systems and funnels? And those were things that I had all done at this point. And so it was me teaching them and then figuring out a way, like, how do I put this in a container where I can serve more and, you know, get into the things that I like about business. And that's like community and networking and meeting in person. And so that's really where that mastermind came from.
I love that you recognized what you wanted to do and you just, it sounds like, I'm probably making a very general statement that you're like, you were not with me at that time and it was much harder.
But I mean, it was very hard, but.
Like, I know it was not easy for sure because we, like, I've done it, like, it's hard to do this. And part of what's coming up for me, and I feel like it's important to just recognize, is any self-doubt that came up along the way, because I am very specifically thinking, if I was working with someone who wanted to make this transition from leaving their full-time, you know, job with a salary, which is typically higher than right away entrepreneurship, and making this jump, one-on-one is best. And the idea of a high-ticket mastermind is a great way to hit that. That is usually the last thing anyone is willing to do because of the high ticket number. How did you navigate that?
Well, I mean, you get to a point where it's like, I mean, we had already tested the course and I knew that wasn't my thing. Like, and some people, it will be your thing and that's great. And you hear all the time, like, low ticket, like, great. That I just knew that wasn't my thing and I knew I wanted to serve at a higher level. So I think you have to know, like, what do you really like to do and where do you perform the best. And that's where I perform the best. But also, like, I had to do something. It's November. My 1 year challenge that I set for myself was going to be up. And, you know, at this point, I mean, we didn't even break even until year two. So it's like, okay, how do we make this work? I have an assistant now that I'm hiring. I'm doing like random one-on-ones. Like, we're breaking even. I've got to like flip the model. And so sometimes it's like, you know what? You just got to put it out there and see what happens. And I did. I was like, okay, like, here's the plan. Here's the launch plan. Here's what we're going to talk about. Here's why I believe in it. And we had 10 people join the first time. Like,
oh, I just remember
being blown away.
That's so exciting. Congratulations on that. I know it's been a while since the first one, but congratulations. That's a big deal.
No, and I still, like, I have a picture of all of them on my wall. Like, I mean, it was just like, I just knew, like, in my heart, like, this was the thing. And so I think some of it is like the energy around it. If you are walking around, like, I'm so scared to talk about it. Or if it's like, you know what, this is going to change my life and it's going to change their life too. I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to go all in and we'll just see what happens. And so it was kind of a very much a mindset and not a strategic process. But that's how we ended our first year.
That's what we need, right? We need that push. Like, I mean, it's like marketing 101. Urgency is what makes us take action. And so you hit November and we're like, dang it, I told myself I had 1 year. I've got this coach that I've been working with. I've hired this assistant, which is huge. I mean, very few people go into entrepreneurship, immediately hire a coach, like, not a mentor that's doing it for free. It's like hiring a coach and an assistant right away. I mean, I'll raise my hand and say I waited way too long to hire an assistant. That was a bad choice on my part. So many people told me to do it, and I waited way too long to do it. I'm so proud of you for doing that right away.
Yeah, my husband makes fun of me because he's like, Holly, you came out the gate like with five things instead of just one. And, you know, then obviously we had to adjust it along the way. But that was really our first year. But, you know, going back to how did you really do it? I had to show up every single day. Like, I knew Monday through Friday, like, I had to do the things at 6 to 7 in the morning because, you know, if you were educating children on Zoom, there's no time in the middle of the day. And so I very strategically mapped out, what am I doing on Monday this week? What am I doing on Wednesday this week? You know, when are the podcast interviews? Luckily, most of my clients loved the 7:30 a.m. time. I will say when I left my corporate job, that was the first thing that I transitioned. But they loved it because they were up working and they could focus on their business. Occasionally I'll bring it back for whatever reason. And like it books up the first time. And so you have to just really think about like, what does your audience want? And then how are you being really consistent in delivering it?
Well, and it makes sense. If you're transitioning from your corporate job, you have to take a call before you start your corporate job that day, because otherwise you can't eat up the time that you're supposed to be working at this other job. And if you're coaching people who are doing the same thing, they have to do the same thing too. So it makes sense that it worked out so well. So let's dig in on this 8 to 10 hours, because I know that's where everyone's going to be like, but how? Because I just want to list a few things here. So you're working corporate. COVID has just hit the world. You are now homeschooling on Zoom, kindergarten. I think it's important to add the age in there. And it's twins. Your husband's probably working at home as well. So now this is like a lot of things happening. And how in the world did you do 8 to 10 hours? And what did that look like? Because forgive me if I'm forgetting this, but you said it was 18 months from the start to when you left your corporate job.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
So how did you do that?
Well, I will say my husband is in real estate. And so nothing was really happening in real estate during that time. So that like helped a little bit just around the house and him helping with the girls. I was working full time. So when I looked at my schedule, I was like, when can I be consistent? And so my first piece of advice is sit down, and you've probably heard this before, and map out your business hours. And this is not scrolling Instagram or listening to podcasts. This is actually like hands on keyboard. I'm designing a course. I am creating content. I'm writing a podcast, like whatever it is. And so every Sunday was my planning period for 1 hour. And I would sit down and I would say, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to work from 6 to 7, sometimes 7:30. And then I use Saturday as what I call my creative time. And this is, you know, I think as busy female entrepreneurs and women, we can multitask a lot and we can do like 20 minutes here and 30 minutes here. And for the most part, it works. But at some point, you've got to have this like strategic time where you're really looking at your business and like what's working, what's not working, what do I need to be successful? And so I would do that on Saturday mornings. I still do it to this day. It's my favorite time. It's like 6 to 8 or 8:30. Everyone's asleep. And I can just like look at the week and be like, okay, what went really well? What didn't go well? If I'm designing something or creating something, I have time where I'm not getting interrupted. And so that's what my week looked like for the most part for almost 2 years was, you know, the 6 to 7 a.m. Sometimes I would check messages in the evening, like it wasn't just, you know, like a robot. And then I would have this, you know, creative time on the weekends where I was learning something or building something, whatever that looked like. And then I've had a planning time on Sunday. So it adds up to 8 hours if you do like 5 hours Monday through Friday, 2 hours on Saturday, 1 hour of planning on Sunday. And then I layered on top because nobody gets up at 6 a.m. and is like, let's go, right? So I was like, how can I just stay focused? Because I really don't have time to think Monday through Friday. Like I just need to get through it. So I created what I called theme days. And at the beginning, like Monday would be a content day. Like I knew I needed to write my podcast. I knew I needed to write an email. And then I knew I needed to repurpose it into some sort of social something. I couldn't be on social during the day because I was working. So for us, our social is 95% repurposed is what you see. So it's like, that's what I would do on Mondays. Tuesdays and Thursdays were usually client days. So I knew in my head, like, that's what I was going to do. Wednesdays were podcast days. And then Fridays were sort of my like catch up days, or you can add in special projects. Like if you're building a website, make Friday for an hour website day. And then on Tuesday, when you're like, oh man, I got to add these 17 things to my website, you can just add it to your website list, knowing that every Friday you're going to work on it for an hour. If you've ever built a website, it's like never ending. And so this just helped like the anxiety of, okay, I'm just going to put this on this day. I know it's coming. I know I have time blocked out. And so I still use this schedule like today. I have a little bit more time to work on my business, but I try really hard to stick to the themes. I feel like it gets so much harder when you're like context switching and, you know, mm-hmm. you do three podcast interviews. I'm not going to sit down and write a course after that. Like my brain is tired. Right. And so having those themes really, really helped make sure that I wasn't working all the time, but that I was still making progress.
I appreciate that so much. And you and I are very similar. My audience knows that I have batched everything from the beginning of my business. Like theme days are the way to go. And it's interesting because I would say my audience is about 50-50. 50% love that idea and 50% are like, I don't work that way, Amanda. Don't tell me to do that. Like it is hilarious how polar opposite some people are with it. And what I tell the person who is like, do not make me structure my day like that is like, figure out what works for you, but you have to figure out something because if you wait, like I don't know about you, but if I waited to feel creative to write my book or to create a podcast episode, I would not have a book and I definitely wouldn't have a podcast. Like I can't wait for that to happen. So how it sounds like you and I are the same in terms of being very similar with being very structured and goal oriented. Have you worked with anyone who really did not want to do theme days?
Oh yeah. I get that's too much for me. I'm not a planner, Holly. And I get that. I totally get it. I would say at a minimum, I ask them to set aside when you're actually going to work on your business. And here's the thing, like life happens. So you know, let's pretend that you set aside noon every day to work on your business and then you get pulled into a meeting. Okay, like that's going to happen. But what do you do about it? Are you going to make it up the next day? Are you going to make it up on Saturday when you have time? So that's the thing that I would ask. The other thing that I like to do is, you know, if you don't want to get into themes, I would ask you, when do you work best? Mm. I'm a morning person. So if you asked me to do that hour of work time at 7 o'clock at night, the chances of me doing it are like slim to none. Like I have no energy at the end of the day. Some people are the opposite. Like one of my assistants, she loves working at night. She also lives on the West Coast. So I'm getting messages from her at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh my God, how are you doing that? But like that's her time. And I know that. And so it's really looking at like, when do you work best? When can you be the most consistent? That's the first thing I would say. And then the second thing I would say is if you're like just getting started with planning, I call it like choosing your daily cake. So the theory is like you've got a 3-layer cake. If you have 5 layers, it's like way too much sugar. You're going to get sick. It's like too much, right? If you have 1 layer, you're like, well, that was great, but I want more. And so I always say like, what are your 3 priorities for the day? One could be work, one could be your 9-to-5, one could be your family. And then I would say everything else is sprinkles. So just sit down and say, and I like to do it the night before, what are the 3 things that I have to get done the next day? And then know when your time is that you're going to work on them. So you don't necessarily always have to do themes. I would argue that you could do all of that together and it's super powerful. But if you're just getting started, just think of it as like your daily 3. Because most of the time, we don't have time for anything else. We've got other things happening. Kids have sports, like whatever is going on. And so it's like, okay, my 3 things today are client calls. I'm taking the girls to dance class and we're going to Trader Joe's. Like that's my 3 things. And if I get those done, then I feel good about my progress.
I love that. My husband and I take walks every morning, unless it's raining or something. But generally speaking, we take a walk every morning and we ask each other, what does success feel like today? Like what will make us feel like success? And so he has his job and he'll tell me like, these are the things that if I come home and I can say that these things are crossed off the list, that feels good. And I'll do the same thing. This is what I'm working on today. And we don't have to know what each other's working on. Like I don't actually know what all of the things mean that he talks about for his job. And he doesn't know my stuff either, but just telling each other mm-hmm. is really nice. And some people need to tell people and some people don't, but that's been a really fun thing. Instead of saying, what do you have to do today? Mm-hmm. Asking what at the end of the day is going to make you feel like it was a successful day. Mm-hmm. That has been super duper helpful for both of us. He has the corporate job and I'm running, you know, my own business. And so it works for both of us for sure.
No, I love that. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's super fun. Feel free to take it and run with it because it's a lot of fun. And then you can kind of check in at the end of the day. Like I know, like I'll mentally note, okay, he has a really important meeting I know this afternoon. So I can send a text message and be like, how did that meeting go? You know, mm-hmm. it's things like that, you know, I think, I don't know about you, but as soon as I started running my own business, there was a lot that I did not anticipate coming up, like a lot of decisions, and I get really tired. Like, I'm a morning person too. And so, gosh, if someone asked me to do something at anywhere after 3 p.m., I feel like is like, that's not a good idea.
I think just awareness of that. And I always joke, like, my kids were coming, came home the other day and they had math homework. And I'm always like, I don't do math after 2 p.m. because it doesn't work. My brain doesn't work. And they're like, Daddy, can you help us? Because mommy doesn't do math after 2 p.m. I was like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I love it.
It's so good. Also, side note is, I don't know if you've reached this point, but math has changed.
Oh, yeah.
And so it looks real different now. And I feel like there should have been a memo at some point that like there was a point at which this, my stepkids, when they came home, I think it was like late middle school that I was like, I'm checked out. You got to ask your teacher about this now.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very different.
Yeah. So kudos to all the homeschooling that happened during COVID and is still happening for sure.
Yeah.
So as we are wrapping this up, there's a lot of people in my audience who really, really want to leave their job eventually. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I hear, you know, I want to do it someday. And a lot of people that I work with, whether I'm working with them one-on-one or they are talking to me on Instagram, there's not a concrete plan. And I often will push and say, well, what does that financially need to look like for you? Mm-hmm. What is your plan of making it happen? And so I'm very curious for the person who wants it someday, but is really struggling to make that commitment. What would you encourage that person to do to, I don't know, take the next step?
Yeah. Oh, I love this question. I think the first thing that really helped me was saying it out loud, because at the beginning of my business, I honestly didn't think replacing my corporate salary was possible because I was making 6+ figures. I did have a 20+ year career. Like, you know, there's benefits in 401k and retirement and that whole, all of it just like overwhelmed me. And I was like, that, whatever. Like, if we can make some extra money and take some vacations, great. Like, I didn't think it was possible. And then I started to see like the shift, but also the schedule change. And so I think what motivated me is I want to be able to control my own schedule for multiple reasons. And so I just started talking about it with my husband of like, what do you think about this? Like, do you think this would work for us? Like, you know, and just having that first conversation, like it makes me nervous talking about it because it's like actually saying it out loud. So I think the first step is to like say it out loud, tell somebody. And then the second step for us was much more tactical. And it was like, well, what are all the things that have to be in place for that to happen? And it was very much like, okay, where are we getting our benefits from? How much do we have to have in savings? Like, how much revenue do we need to bring in? Like, it was very, very tactical. And we put it on a whiteboard. I remember it. It was like in November, right after the mastermind launched the next time, right? Like the next year. And I called it the 20 Monday project because I was like, okay, it's November. Like, if I could leave my job at the end of Q1, so March or April, that would be amazing. But maybe even like the next July, like we'll just see. So 20 Mondays was like through the end of March the next year or something like that. And when we put it on the board, I'm not joking. I put my notice in 2 weeks later.
Oh my gosh.
I can't remember. It was very quick. And I think it just goes to, it was so visible of like, okay, well, we can get our benefits here. Okay. This is what our savings looks like. Okay. This is our income plan. And I did not make my corporate salary when I left, like I did not match it, but these like amazing, like universal things happen when you put it out there. So I put my notice in cause I was like, well, I don't want to. At the time, you had to like start going back into the office and going back to the bus stop dream. I was like, I don't want to go back to the office. Like, I want to be at home. So we used that as like motivation and then was like, okay, let's give it a year. Again, another year challenge. Like, we have enough savings or whatever, regardless of what happens to the business, we'll be fine for a year. And I think that piece is really important because if you put an income goal on your business and your life, it'll get really stressful really fast. And that's the thing that I didn't want to happen. I didn't want to step away from this like security and be stressed out every day of like, I have to make this, I have to do this. Like, I wanted it to be an enjoyable experience. And so I knew we would be fine for a year. And at the end of the year, we would make a decision of what to do next. So that's kind of how it happened. I did not match my corporate salary from a profit perspective. But obviously that opened up more time for me. And then we, you know, grew significantly after I was able to focus on it full time.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing those two things. You know, sharing it with someone else, saying it out loud is so important. I totally agree with that because it makes it real. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can think about things in my head and they feel really big and really scary. Yeah. And once right. I like get
That's
them out
of
my
let
mouth.
Me tell you.
Yeah. Once I get them out, I'm like, okay, it's still scary, but it feels more manageable. Like there's something about just talking about it with someone else, especially yeah. someone who's supportive. So choose your person wisely, I would say. But telling someone and then really writing it down. I love mm-hmm. the whole idea of like 20 weeks. Like you looked at that. It was very tactical. And mm-hmm. then you were able to leave. And so thank you also for sharing that you didn't replace your income right away. I'm assuming you did by the next year is what mm-hmm. it sounds like. But the first year that you were full-time didn't really replace it right off the bat, which is not like that's really typical is what I would say is like, it's not many people's story. They're like, actually I replaced my income completely in the first year. I don't know that I've met too many people that have done that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be amazing if you did, but I would say there's changes that we made. It's like, okay, we're both home. We're not driving right. as much. Like, so there was like some give and take in the first couple months. And then it was like, what do our days look like? What do I want my schedule to be look like? I do want to go to yoga at 10 a.m. and I do want to walk all the time. Like, and we travel. Like one of our goals was to travel as a family. Like if I'm going to have this flexibility, like how do we enjoy it? And so I think going back to that tip that I said, like, don't put all your eggs in one basket or it's going to be really stressful. And so figure out like, what is the plan? And you always say like you don't necessarily need a backup plan, but maybe after a certain amount of time, you look at it and say, okay, maybe we need to pivot to something different. So we did give ourselves a timeline to sort of adjust.
Yeah, I think it's great. Some people say like leap without the net, don't have a backup plan. Some of us need it. Like I definitely needed
well,
that.
I mean, I have two kids. Like yeah. I was like, we got it.
That feels just, like a real big risk.
There. Yeah.
I can bet on myself all day long, but I also have a backup plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in case something goes crazy. Thank you so much, Holly. I know you have something that you want to invite everyone to take part in, which I took earlier this year. It is so fun and free. And so please share about all of that so they can learn some more.
Yeah. So the most popular question I get is, well, how did you actually do it? And so we created a free 5-day challenge. It's called CEO Week. And I actually teach you how to create your 8 to 10 hour work week schedule, how to create your theme days. I get into like the actual steps that you take on those days. And it's very tactical and tangible. And I'm also behind the scenes answering questions. So if you ask questions, I'll answer you. It's me. It's just hollymariehaines.com/CEO Week. It's our most popular, most downloaded challenge, and I think you guys will really love it.
I think they will too, because I signed up for that. I think that was the first thing that I happened to catch of yours, and it was really well done and super duper simple. So like the videos are pre-recorded, you can watch them, and again, you're really thinking about your audience. So someone who doesn't have a ton of time, this was, you know, you can jump right in and go through this process, and you very tactically teach it, and you do answer questions, like you can see, mm-hmm. like on, so like. I'll make this very clear for everyone. Yeah. So the challenge is evergreen. So like you can sign up anytime. At any point, you can go to this link and sign up. However, Holly is behind the scenes answering questions from the forum of the challenge all the time. So mm-hmm. she's answering your questions, so you don't have to wait for that live version to actually get your questions answered. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's on a podcast, too. You can listen to it now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, too. Yeah. So nice that you do that. You cater to everyone's
I love podcasting,
needs.
So we could have a whole episode here. About that, too.
I told someone recently, I was like, if I could just podcast and just talk to people all the time, like, that would be a dream. I know, but it's like, it's a different business model. So it's like, do I go that route? Is that what I really want to do? But I did say that recently because I was like, I love talking to people and mm-hmm. like yourself and learning and hearing your story and dang, it's just fun. As soon as I came across podcasting, I was like, I think that's for me.
Yes, I love it.
All right, Holly. Well, is there anywhere else you want to direct people to so they can learn and connect with you more?
Yeah, CEO Week is the place to hang out. I'm also on Instagram at the Holly Marie Haynes. And you can listen to our podcast called Crush the Rush. Really anywhere podcasts are found, but come say hi.
All right. I'll make sure everything is in the show notes. Thank you so much, Holly.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMcKinney too. Until next time.